Hello, namaste. There's an incredible reality about who we are that can't be missed. It can't be missed. It's not difficult to get to. It doesn't require that we do anything at all. If we really want to do something, we can just relax our grip on all our points of view. All we can really say about ourselves as human being, fundamentally, when it gets right down to it, is that we are aware of being naturally present, aware of natural presence, aware as natural presence. So this awareness that is the basic space of everything is like the vault of the sky. It's not limited to our form alone. It's vast as infinite space with no boundaries or limitations whatsoever. And within that awareness is included all points of view, including the point of view of being naturally present. So what we take to be a personal identity is actually just a point of view arising in the basic space of awareness. The point of view of a personal identity is not a container for all other points of view. It's only awareness, all-encompassing awareness, that is inclusive of all points of view. So if we have any questions about who we are as a human being, what we need to do is get to know our awareness by relaxing the grip on points of view as they arise. If we only see all of these points of view to be something in and of themselves, to be substantive in and of themselves, to have some kind of fixed identity and origin that somehow defines who we are, that somehow has a grip on us, that can somehow control us or affect us, then all of our life, in each moment, our self-knowing awareness is just looking at that point of view as being something. However, if we look at the point of view as only being something, that's all we see about it. But if we see it as something, the magical, magnificent display of primordial awareness, pristine awareness, inclusive of all points of view, if we see that as the essence of every point of view, then we know the point of view in its totality. We know it both as it relates to the realm of cause and effect, and we know it as the reality that is beyond cause and effect. So, relax, that's all I have to say. When a point of view comes up, no matter what that point of view is, instead of diving in and getting into a story about what the point of view is and how it relates to all other points of view, just relax. Rest naturally without seeking anything. Just allow the essence of your being to be free as utter relaxation, as it already is. If you take anything else to be true about yourself, then it's only because no one has ever suggested to you that you relax. And if you don't want to relax, if that's too much work, if you're just sick and tired of doing any methods or practices or all these things that might lead to knowing who we are, or liberation or enlightenment or awakening or whatever you call this that is right here, if you just don't want to do anything anymore, just keep showing up here and conviction will dawn. It will dawn without doing anything. Because see, who we are, it can't be missed. So when we're in an environment that relentlessly supports that and nothing else, it dawns. No matter how resistant we may be, it dawns. It naturally dawns. It's, you know, like once the sun rises in the morning, where is night? You know, we can't find it anywhere. There's only the sun of awareness, the sun of infinite space. And once the sun of awareness starts arising as each of our points of view and we notice that, we realize that to be the case, then more and more we're just naturally relaxed. And we really don't have to do anything for that. If we feel we do have to do something about that, if we're having all kinds of points of view and we don't know what to do with them, then we can rest naturally without describing anything. Rest naturally without seeking anything. Rest naturally and freely as the essence of awareness. Because see, this essence of awareness, it is the constant in every point of view. It's the fundamental reality of every point of view. Without awareness, the point of view would not be. So you see, the point of view is awareness. It's inseparable from awareness, like water and its wetness, like the color blue in the sky, like the luster of gold and gold. All the points of view are the luster of aware basic space and nothing else. So we don't need to do anything about the points of view. We don't need to get rid of the bad ones and hang on to the good ones and ignore the neutral ones or not care about them. All the points of view, no matter what they are the dynamic energy of aware basic space and nothing else. So sometimes when we hear this, it doesn't seem that that can be the case, because maybe for years we've tried to get all our good points of view together so we can be a good person. And we try to get rid of all of our negative points of view. And we just ignore our neutral points of view. Those are things we don't even think about, like brushing our teeth, tying our shoes. These are all points of view that are neutral. We don't really think about them. They don't have any consequences. But when we start to rest naturally as awareness, we realize more and more that all points of view that arise within awareness are a vast expanse of equalness and evenness. The fundamental nature of all points of view is that they are basic space and nothing else. They've never existed as anything other than aware basic space. No point of view, no matter what it is, has ever existed elsewhere. So there's no point of view whatsoever that exists outside aware basic space. No point of view exists elsewhere. So when it comes to this matter of being totally free of the great freedom of awakening, enlightenment, liberation, or what I say, just being human, being truly human, we just rest naturally without seeking anything, without having the compulsion any longer to describe everything that comes up. And when we do, we realize more and more our true nature, and we realize this thing that we've taken to be a personal identity, the someone, it's a habit. And when we focus only on that habit, I am a someone, that's all I am the accumulation of all my memories, of what I've thought, of my emotional states, of what I've done in my life, that's what my personal identity is. If that's all awareness is involved in, then that's all that's seen. Because in each moment, no matter who we are, the most important choice we can make is to utilize our self-knowing awareness to either rest naturally as that awareness or to make up all kinds of stories about what's going on, the cause and effect realm of point of view. That's the only choice we have in each moment. It's the sublime choice. The sublime choice. And this is the awakening or liberation or freedom that is not separate or apart from point of view. So this is the true meaning of non-duality. The true meaning of non-duality. If anything else is suggested in something that calls itself a teaching of non-duality, it is not a teaching of non-duality. Do you understand what I'm saying? If something says, I'm a teaching of non-duality, and then says, there's an ego or personal identity that needs to be fixed, well, then there's going to be a lifetime of trying to fix something that doesn't exist in and of itself. Because see, the personal identity is wonderful. It's the complete enjoyment body when we recognize the essence of it as awareness. It's the complete enjoyment body. So we're not trying to erase the personal identity or anything else. We're just knowing. We're coming to our own self-knowing awareness, our omniscience, our all-knowingness, that this personal identity has its only essence as awareness. And each of us can very directly examine this for ourselves. You know, if we say, well, you know, how often do I have the point of view of being a personal somebody? Well, Most of us rarely have that idea. We may go through a whole day without having the point of view. Wow, I am somebody. I'm so and so. So you see, this is just an assumption. It's a conventional designation. It's a conventional point of view or designation that it's just something commonly adopted. And the only reason we've adopted it is because we're exposed to other human beings who have adopted it. That's all. So, you know, just relax. That's all I have to say. Now we can all go home. I'll read something and then comment on it a little bit about it. I spoke about this a little bit yesterday, but I wanted to speak about it again today. The Great River of Point of View. The Great River of Point of View is a raging rapid. It is so great and swift. We must not be afraid. We must not try to hold on to the riverbank, or we will be torn apart and suffer greatly. Know that the river will carry us to freedom if we relax. We must let go of the shore, push off into the middle of the river, keep our heads above the water. We must see who is there with us and celebrate together. At this time in human history, we are to take nothing personally, least of all ourselves. For the moment that we do, we will be torn apart or drowned by points of view. The time of the lone hero is over. We must gather ourselves together, all of humankind. We must banish the words personal comfort from our attitude and vocabulary. All that we do now must be done to benefit the whole. In celebration of our gathering, all of humankind together in mutual benefit and contribution. We together are the savior or heroine we have been waiting for. What can I say? If we are holding on to the riverbank so desperate to have the safety and comfort of all of our descriptions of all of the points of view, we will definitely be torn apart. And we will spend each moment of our day, all the weeks of our lives, all the months of our lives, our entire lifetime, all caught up in these points of view. And with that, we'll have increasing suffering in our lives. And when we get old and sick, it'll be very difficult for us to deal with that because our whole life will have been given over to point of view. We won't know anything whatsoever about our own awareness, that which never changes in every situation, you know, that which is not affected by illness, no matter how severe, that which is not even affected by our own death. So, you know, when each of us takes responsibility for this, we support ourselves so tremendously. And when we support ourselves so tremendously in this ultimate act of compassion, you see, when we're compassionate for ourselves in this way, we understand ourselves completely. We understand what it is to make this most important choice in every moment, to be entirely free as awareness. We understand how all of our points of view that we've accumulated all through our lives and taken them to be a personal identity, we understand how much suffering those have caused us. And only then do we unleash the floodgates of compassion where we feel compassion for everyone. We can only come to compassion through this compassion for ourselves. So, you know, when we have to have the courage to let go of the riverbank, to let go of everything we've thought to be real, of everything we've thought to be the case. No matter how many people are hanging on to the riverbank, each of us, we have to have the courage to let go. We really have to have the courage to let go. And when we let go, you know, we have to know that there are some people in this river who have been in there for a long time. They're not just in there trying to keep their head above the water. They can swim upstream, downstream, fly up above the rapids, you know, dive under, breathe underwater for hundreds of years. You know, those are the people we want to help us. You know? Those are the people we want to help us when we're in the river. You know, when we meet someone like that, we're not going to try to drown them. You know, we want the person who can take us to the freedom of the crystal clear ocean that's completely calm and even. So, you know, Heather came to visit me this morning in my room, and we were having a conversation about the teaching, and she said, you know, that when we don't recognize that we are all-encompassing awareness, inclusive of all points of view, and we don't realize that there are people who can contribute to us about that. In other words, there are a few people who can help us cut right through the solidity of our points of view. If we don't realize that and we meet someone like that, it's like a drowning person sometimes trying to drown their lifeguard. Have you ever seen that, where the drowning person grabs onto the lifeguard and they try to drown them too? Oh, come down with me. And the lifeguard, I know this because I have a Red Cross water safety instructor, one of those little badges, and a card to go with it. When somebody tries to do that to you, you don't let them do it. You know, you just let them be. Just let them be as they are. And then when they're ready to be rescued, then they're given help. But otherwise, you know, what can I say? So you see, for many of us, we have learned so much about cause and effect, and we've clung so desperately to being right rather than being happy, right about all of our points of view, no matter what they are. And it feels like that rightness about our points of view is a very safe and comfortable place, because it's all we know. That's all we know. You know, I am somebody. I have all these points of view. My points of view are right. That person's points of view are wrong. And so, you know, this is all about clinging to the riverbank and being shredded, being torn apart by desperately trying to hold on. There's nothing to hold on to in pure space. Show me anything to hold on to in pure space. There's nothing at all to hang on to in pure space. Pure space is such pure space that when you're living as pure space, you can take off all your clothes and hang them on a sunbeam. Mm-hmm. That's what pure space is. See for yourself, you know. There's a whole reality beyond what is taken to be real by most people. And we need this more than ever today in our world. And this is what this writing points to. You know, it points to that we need to let go, that we need to learn more about who we are as human beings, that we need to look at what has been exemplified to us throughout the centuries about what it really means to be human. We have to look at this great heritage of human beings that have passed down enlightenment from generation to generation. I mean true enlightenment, the complete enlightenment that equals complete benefit for the whole. The complete enlightenment that is evidenced by its beneficial nature. It's just evidenced by its beneficial nature. There's nothing that needs to be figured out. It's not a personal matter. Our natural state is beneficially oriented. It's entirely beneficially oriented. And when we relax, we learn more and more about that. Without the relaxation, we can't possibly know about it. We can't tap into it through more and more doing. It's impossible to tap into it through more and more doing. We just have to let everything be as it is, totally as it is, totally free, totally serene, a single blissful expanse. And when we do so, we realize something about ourselves that is really incredible. When we're clinging to the riverbank and we don't want to let go, it seems like the river can drown us. It seems like we're going to be safer being torn to shreds by all the points of view. But when we let go, we find a reality that we had not known existed. Then we find a reality of total freedom, of a flow of utter lucidity that permeates all of life. And in that utter lucidity is immense power and force, And this is what is exemplified to us throughout the ages, that we as human beings, every single one of us, this is our birthright. This reality that is beyond causality, the reality of awakened awareness, is our birthright. It belongs to every single human being, all 7 billion. No one left out. There's absolutely no one who's left out. There's no system of the elect when it comes to awakened awareness. Every single person, whoever they are, can say, "I am aware." And it's this constancy of our awareness that we can really count on for all of humankind. Indivisible awareness, awareness that has been never been fragmented or divided into a bunch of different points of view. Awareness that has been never been fragmented or divided into a bunch of individual human beings with their own awareness, fighting it out with all the other awarenesses. So, you know, when we, I'm not suggesting a passive or irresponsible or immoral way of being where everything's just okay or impartial or there's no self or nothingness or emptiness only or some kind of extreme. I'm just suggesting that we are aware basic space. I know this absolutely to be the case, not only in myself but in many other people, all of you, for example. And when we realize that about ourselves, we find that all of the things that we've longed to do in our heart of hearts, that suddenly they become possible in an unimaginable way. And we don't even know how this has come about. You know, maybe we've struggled for years to realize a dream, or maybe we've had a dream, some kind of passion in our life that we've never been able to execute, no matter how hard we try, or we think we're not good enough, or we think no one will help us, or whatever it is. But once we just start to rest as awareness, to realize our own awareness is the essence of our being, all of these things that we're here to contribute become so in an unimaginable way. So never give up. Never give up. Never give up. Count on your own awakened awareness. Count on your own awakened awareness as the essence of your being. And snap your fingers and the whole village of your points of view will wake up. You know, we have to stop looking for a hero who's going to snap their fingers and wake us up. The death of the hero. Awakened awareness is the great reality. It really is so amazing because we are exemplifying to ourselves in all these ways today that we have all of these incredible illustrations, similes, metaphors, analogies of awakened awareness where there's no real proof that there is a personal identity present, like the internet. You know, we might be looking at all kinds of things on the internet, information, or be in a chat room, or instant messaging, emailing, whatever it is. But, you know, we assume that there are personal identities involved, but where are they? Where are they? It's awareness of the natural presence of this communicating basic space. That's all. And then from there we elaborate assumptions about personal identities here, there, and everywhere. And that's all okay, but you know, we have to really realize what the constant is in everything, no matter what it is. That the constant is awareness. Awareness is that which is inclusive of the point of view of the internet or all electronic media and everything within it. So you see, the internet too is a point of view. Whatever it is, it's just like, you know, we could say, well, there's a mainframe computer somewhere and it's inclusive of all points of view, it's inclusive of all this data. Well, this is like awareness, the mainframe computer, inclusive of all data. So you see, we have endless similes today, metaphors, analogies that we can use to describe this. But no simile, analogy, metaphor is ever complete. Because who we are, it can't be described. It can't possibly be described. We can only allow it as our own nature. We can allow it as our own nature. We can allow it right this instant if we want to, forever. That does happen here. How many people here right now are thinking about the past or the future? You are? No?
I think I must phone my friend Sarah so that you come for the 23rd.
Oh. Well, you know, no matter, you see, whatever point of view comes up, that is awakened awareness. It's a single blissful expanse. When I say how many people are thinking about the past or the future, there only is awareness as whatever point of view comes up. So say there's point of view and then a gap between point of view and another point of view. Well, the gap between point of view is also a point of view. So, you know, there's no getting out of point of view. The point of view is the dynamic energy of aware basic space. So you see, this is what non-duality points to, that everything is included, that everything is a non-dual expanse. But in the Great Freedom Teaching, we describe it in such a simple way that it can't be avoided. There's no ego that needs to be fixed. There's no body that needs to be done away with. There's no self that needs to be done away with. There's no intermediate layer anywhere. All there is awareness inclusive of all points of view, no matter what they are. No matter what the points of view that are, they exist in, of, as, and through awareness. They've never existed as anything else, whether it's our point of view of a personal identity, the point of view of an authority who has some kind of control over us, like a governmental figure or a government or a nation or a prison or an addiction or whatever it is. All of these are only points of view. The greatest addiction there is point of view, believing point of view to be real. The greatest cult there is the cult of point of view. There's all this talk about cult busting, doing this. The greatest cult is point of view. Taking all these points of view to be real, taking all of them to be the substance of one's life. Just taking it for granted that life is ups and downs rather than a single blissful expanse. So we're all cult busters, you know. We're just in and of ourselves. Is that really a term, cult buster? A long time ago I saw the movie Ghostbusters and I pardon?
Talking about exactly that.
Oh, really? Yeah, well. We're all timelessly free, and no one has ever clung to anything. You know, who would be clinging to anything? Who would be clinging to anything when point of view is just awareness? You see, it's all like pure space. If we took the sky and we formed it into, we took the infinite blue sky and we formed it into all the letters of the alphabet, and then we endlessly formed, we just had infinite sequences of those letters of the alphabet, and we formed it into all kinds of words, images, treatises, paragraphs, sentences, whatever, it would all still be pure space. So no matter what it is, it's all pure space. You understand what I'm saying? Every point of view is pure space. It has no boundary. It's infinite as the vast expanse. So emotional states are pure space, no matter what their kind, wonderful, joyful, or totally miserable. Thoughts, painful or not, are pure space. Neutral states, neutral points of view are all, of all kinds are pure space. The body is pure space. The brain is pure space. The brain isn't a container for anything. The brain is a device of awareness. That's all, that's all. Everything else is made up. Genetics, pure space. Bloodletting, that was the big thing a couple hundred years ago. That was the state of the art of medicine. That's pure space. In a couple hundred years, genetics, everyone will laugh at that. Then it'll be pure space, you know. So all this stuff is pure space, no matter what it is. And when we realize that it all is pure space with a magnificent, vivid appearance of being something in and of itself, well, you know, we just have to laugh. We have to laugh that we've ever taken ourselves to be anything other than that. Because it's so relaxing. It's a life of comfort and ease, a life of complete comfort and ease, but at the same time, a life of immense force and power. Immense force, power, and passion that can't be contained. Passion and compassion together. With passion, that's what compassion means. With passion. Did you have a question?
Yeah, you were talking last night, and I was asking about awareness, right? How did it get into the body? Was it kind of like people told us we were a personal identity came in, or did awareness sort of slip into the body?
Awareness is, so, and awareness is inclusive of all points of view, including the body. Now, something very interesting about the human being is that the human being is the only being that has self-knowing awareness. So the human being is the only being in which awareness knows itself. All other beings, whether they're animate or inanimate, like my little dogs, Rudy Kazooty and Baby Kazooty, they're two little Boston Terriers, you know those little black and white dogs with the ears that stick straight up? Oh, you have a schnauzer? Oh, my dog Rudy loves schnauzers. But you see, here's the thing about Rudy Kazooty and Baby Kazooty. They've never taken themselves to be anything. You know, they don't say, oh, I'm a Boston Terrier. Yeah, I have my AKA papers. I'm really styling, you know, here. I'm pimp, you know. Pardon? I've never taken myself to be anything. You know, they've never taken themselves to be anything, not a dog or anything else. It never, none of these things ever occur to them, like, am I going to have this great house to live in tomorrow? Or is there going to be enough money for my kibble when I'm old? Or, you know, am I going to have kibble later today? How much kibble will I have? Can I have more kibble? Where are my toys? Why don't they buy me more toys? So you see, the human being is the only one that has self-knowing awareness. Well, as we can see, you know, it's up to us. It's up to us to make that choice. It's no complicated thing. This matter of being totally free, most of the time it's either overcomplicated or oversimplified. It's overcomplicated through endless doing and practices, and maybe sometimes lifetimes of doing in order to achieve or attain a goal. And it's oversimplified when it's stated to be just some kind of freedom from mental concepts. So neither of these is going to ever lead to the complete enlightenment that equals complete benefit. The complete enlightenment that equals complete benefit is total simplicity, but it's neither oversimplified or overcomplicated. You see, it's the direct path, direct perception of awareness. And only self-knowing awareness can elect that. In a human being, we elect that with each point of view. Or we can just elect it forever with all our points of view this moment. We already have. So, you know, in the Great Freedom Teaching, all that happens is that's recognized more and more. That we already have elected that, that we've never been anything else, you know, that we've just taken ourselves to be something in particular because we've been exposed to what everyone else is doing. That's all. Would you like to come up here and say something? Well, I'll give you a framework, okay? Just speak about what it was like before you came here. Okay. What has happened since then and what it's like now.
Like many people in this room, I read an awful lot looking for something. You know, whatever I'd done in my life, very focused, very hard worker, very achievement oriented, needed to understand everything. I've spoken about this before, but I describe it as a sort of innocent arrogance, an assumption that if I worked hard enough, applied my brain enough, applied my effort enough, I would be able to understand whatever it was that I didn't quite understand and define it. And fit the last couple of pieces into the puzzle, and then finally everything would be okay. So, I was going to meet Edmund in Varanasi, and he phoned me and he said, "I'm not going to tell you anything about this because I can't. You have to come and listen to one satsang." So I did, and for someone who thinks as compulsively as I did. I do. Something that Candace said, and I couldn't even isolate the sentence, just resonated somewhere that wasn't in my brain. And going through the process of, I'm on day 11 of the 12 inquiries, somewhere along the line of this process, it has a lot to do with things our teachers and my group have said. It has a lot to do with the process that you're very carefully taken through of actually finding the points of view that you didn't know you had. I mean, everybody knows what they think. Everyone knows what they know. And everyone has some idea of what they don't know. But a lot of us don't know what we don't know. That going through this process, that's what is thrown up. And you suddenly realize that almost everything you've ever done has been hooked on like a self-identity with a little Christmas tree, you know, all these different, and you keep decorating the tree and it gets more and more overladen and more glittery, and you keep thinking, gosh, this is amazing, or this is not amazing. But you never get away from this fixed point. And I've just found over the past few days that situations where I might have got frustrated or lost my temper or tried to fix you know, I'm a big fixer. You know, I always think, well, apply enough thought and effort and you'll be able to fix everything. If you just give up the need to understand it and to fix it, somehow it doesn't fix itself. You don't just sit there like a kind of drooling idiot and wait for the world to kind of happen. But if you sit there and you just rest naturally, although I'm not even confident I could say exactly what resting naturally is, but if you just relax, I mean, Johan said, just if you don't know what resting naturally is, just relax physically. Somebody else told me about a dream he'd had, someone who did the last intensive. And he just, the end sentence of the dream was, pure awareness is always totally at ease with itself. And every time, you know, yesterday I was late for satsang, I was thinking, oh God, I'm late, how rude, da da da. And I just thought of Simon's sentence, you know, pure awareness is always completely at ease with itself. And I'm pure awareness, they're all pure awareness, the room's pure awareness. And I just kind of breezed in here and think, well, tomorrow I'll get up 10 minutes earlier, but I'm not going to have a complete story about what people might think and how I might feel. So it's not, you know, I haven't had kind of explosions of light, but I'm just so much happier, so much more relaxed, and so much more aware that we're all the same. You know, we're all, when you go through what we've gone through as a group, and you've heard everybody's pain and joy and hopes and dreams and every possible aspect of human experience coming up, even if your story's different, even if your situation's been different, even if the circumstances of your life have been different, sooner or later, even if you're as stubbornly intellectual as I am, you're going to be forced to recognize, or not forced to recognize, that whatever the elaborations are that are laid on top of things that you think of as you, actually our experience, the root of our experience, which is pure awareness, is all the same. And there's just a tremendous effortless relief in that, which just makes life a lot easier and happier. And I find myself just noticing things that I never noticed before, you know. We're on a crappy little bike that I have to get off so we can get up hills that are steeper than a certain gradient. I mean, where the laughing authorities wait for us because it's hilarious. And on my walk up the hill, even if I've had 3 hours sleep because I've been torturing myself about not answering the questions right, yeah, it's just amazing. I'm walking up the hill and people are laughing at us rather than with us, but they're still laughing and that's cool. And yeah, life's just peachy.
Thank you. Thank you. Any questions, or would anyone else like to come up and share? Hello.
Well, I've got nothing to say really, because I was not having a point of view. I haven't planned anything to say in my head. And then it has to be a performance, and then it has to be thought about, and what if I say it wrong? And so there isn't anything I can say, but apart from that, yesterday I spent the best part of the day saying, wow. Like, and it just reminded me of you. Exactly the same words. And I wrote it in my diary, in that big, wow. And I don't think I need to say anything else. And I just want to thank you all. I'm here an extra day when I shouldn't be, and I'll probably get into trouble, but it doesn't matter anymore. It really isn't an issue. That's the way it's been. So I'm going away with 3 lovely tapes that someone very kindly, well, CDs, did for me. And I hope to keep in touch with the group. And hopefully come back and do a bit more. So I just wanted to say that.
Thank you. Do you have any questions?
If you realize you have a point of view, what's the next mental step you take? Do you just recognize it? Do you let it go? Do you accept it? What's the next step you take in your mind?
Rest as the ground of being of the point of view, which is awareness. But not as a mental construct, not as another point of view, just rest. Just what is in this room, the felt sense of being naturally present, the felt sense of immediacy, just that and nothing else.
You have the point of view, and something acknowledges that you have a point of view. Something in you realizes you have a point of view.
What is that? That realizes
it's your mind, I guess. Like I was doing a meditation yesterday, and I had some pain in my leg, and I realized that's just a point of view. And then I thought, what do I do next with that realization?
Mm-hmm. I have great news for you. You know that troublesome mind you've been trying to get rid of? It's never existed. The mind is a point of view too. There isn't an entity in between awareness and point of view called a mind. So when the point of view comes up, it isn't the mind that's aware of the point of view, it's awareness. Aware as the point of view. So it's not awareness over here, aware of a point of view over here. It's awareness as the point of view. Duality is based on the separation of a perceiver and a perceived, a seer and a seen, an experiencer and an experienced. There's only awareness as the natural presence, the natural occurrence of immediacy.
It's so simple. It makes it so difficult.
Not really. Just let go of the riverbank. What might seem difficult to you will become effortless quickly. As I always say, this is my mantra, what is already accomplished is very quick. Many of us learn that we really have to effort and do in order to achieve anything that's good or worthwhile. And so when we hear of something as incredible as being totally free, we think, oh, wow, I'm really going to have to work hard for that. But that's not the case. We've never been zipped inside a life of effort. We've always been totally free. And when we sample ourselves as that, when we really taste the flavor of that, when we allow ourselves to just feel the felt sense of natural presence in this room, all that is our direct experience of our true self. What we feel here is the direct experience of our true self. It's awareness, pristine, immaculate, unadulterated, unaffected by anything. It's our own direct experience of ourselves. That's it. So we rest as that.
No matter how narrow or wide the diameter is, to the point of view, we're always looking at the infinite. So is it just, should we just take that point of view and let it, you know, basically blow in the wind, you know? Can we take any point of view to its logical extension, it becomes absurd. So you could say to yourself, okay, I'm looking outside at a tree, and if you continue to meditate on that single point, it's through the point. You go through the point. I don't think you cut off the point. Is that a way of... As human beings, we can never separate ourselves from the point. So the only way tell me if I'm wrong, find that infinite vastness is to go through the point, not to find another point and to go from point to point in an endless search, which would just be cause and effect, but to go through the point, like, you know, a thread through a needle.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, not to go through the point, to be the point. Because, see, the point of view has no diameter, not either narrow or vast. It doesn't have any perimeter. It doesn't have a circumference. It doesn't have a center. It doesn't have a beginning, middle, or end. So we can only realize that when we release our mind in infinite space. who we are is beyond intellectual speculation, completely beyond intellectual speculation. So when we rest, when we just allow the evidence of what we feel and sense right here in this room, the total comfort and ease, when we allow that to be as the essence of every point of view, then we realize all points of view as they are. There's no point of view to get rid of. And we realize this more and more that, you know, when I say that everything is a single blissful expanse, everything is a single blissful, uninterrupted expanse with no transition or change. And this is realized more and more.
It's such a strange paradox, too, because you think that by opening yourself up, you wouldn't be able to grasp onto those things like memories, everyday memories. But actually, by letting yourself become limitless, you can remember more clearly. I find that a very strange thing. You know, it seems that the two contradict each other. You know, without a controller, you know, without a container, what do you contain? And yet, you know, you just have this lucid, you know, awareness of the small things in daily life, like, you know, what was being said earlier.
Yes.
Quite right.
It is. That's what omniscience is, you know, all knowing. Knowing of everything in general and everything in particular. Yeah.
After experiencing, realizing this kind of weird, if they do decisions and choices and all that kind of thing, where does emotion come from? Where does emotion come from this space that you're talking about? Like, is there preference? Is there... it seems, and I might be missing the point, that beyond points of view, Which ways point of view?
Ways point of view.
Yeah, I guess I'm still. I feel like there's something dangerous about not having
here's something that will be a distinction for you about that. Within the realm of cause and effect and preferences exist within the realm of cause and effect. Only cause and effect can be seen. It's just like being in a valley, the summit of the mountain can't be seen, the view from the summit of the mountain. But from the summit of the mountain, all can be seen. So the summit of the mountain is that which is beyond point of view or beyond cause and effect. It's from that summit, that vantage, everything is seen, including cause and effect. So the great reality of what we are is beyond any kind of intellectual speculation. And rather than it being dangerous, it's point of view that is dangerous. We only have to look at this in ourselves. So first we have to keep the focus on ourselves and see how point of view has caused us suffering. And then based on that, we can, in a more lucid way, look at the world around us and see how point of view, in other words, preferences, have affected the world, taking up positions of point of view one against the other. And then we see more and more that it's point of view that's really dangerous, because we can see this from the summit, but we can't see it from the valley. And when we can see from the summit, we are the ultimate authority. You know, we're the monarch over all, including cause and effect. So it's not a state of impartiality, immorality, or irresponsibility. In fact, it's the most sublime ethics and morality. It's the ethics and morality that is inclusive of all, with no one left out. It's the immense power and force to enact change that can really bring the world to peace. First of all, bring ourselves to peace, and then the world to peace. So, you know, it isn't some of these things talked about and characterized as enlightenment are not enlightenment. They're not enlightenment. They're just something that's spoken in the name of enlightenment, but they're not enlightenment. It's just like when Wangdor Rinpoche came to visit me at the Great Freedom Sanctuary in California. He's one of the four high lamas, Dzogchen lamas, who are living today, a Tibetan Buddhist. He walked around the garden and he said, "Oh, I really like this tree." You know, it's not some kind of flatline state where it's a spontaneous response of joyfulness and laser-like ability to act in a profound way that can really bring about benefit. So know that that's what you are. That's what you are. But you see, that can only be realized through keeping the focus totally on yourself, realizing yourself as awareness inclusive of all points of view. And the more that you keep your focus as that, the more what you may have thought your awareness to be is confined within a body, the more that awareness will mingle, will blend with the vast expanse of infinite space. It's naturally occurring. If you take yourself to be an I or a personal identity, less and less will you take yourself to be only that. You know, there's no I to be expunged. The I is a naturally occurring point of view. It's a beautiful point of view. There's nothing to be done about it. There's never been an I or personal identity that's a container for a bunch of other points of view. There's only awareness, all-encompassing awareness, naturally present as all points of view. Know this is your own reality. We'll sit quietly for a few minutes.